John Maynard Keynes was far more than an economist. He was a revolutionary thinker who fundamentally reshaped how we understand economics and government's role in managing it. When the Great Depression threatened to collapse capitalism entirely, Keynes provided the intellectual framework that allowed governments to intervene and stabilize failing economies. His radical idea that governments should spend money they don't have during economic downturns challenged conventional wisdom, but ultimately proved so effective that it became standard practice worldwide. Beyond economics, Keynes lived multiple remarkable lives. As a member of the influential Bloomsbury Group alongside Virginia Woolf, as an art collector whose acquisitions now hang in Britain's National Gallery, and as an investment genius who increased King's College Cambridge's endowment 13-fold. Born in 1883 to an academic family in Cambridge, Keynes showed remarkable intellectual prowess from childhood. At Eton and later King's College Cambridge, he excelled in mathematics, classics, and history. His early career included work at the India Office while writing a dissertation on probability theory. World War I transformed Keynes's trajectory. Joining the Treasury in 1915, he quickly rose to head external finance, demonstrating exceptional administrative talent. After attending the Paris Peace Conference as Treasury representative in 1919, Keynes resigned in protest when his efforts to secure moderate German reparations failed. His subsequent book, Economic Consequences of the Peace, became an international bestseller that made him world famous. Keynes's economic theories stemmed from deep philosophical inquiry. With the Cambridge Apostles, he embraced G.E. Moore's ethics centered on the pleasures of human intercourse and the enjoyment of beautiful objects, adding love of knowledge to form his ethical foundation. This led him to view economics as enabling the good life, intellectual growth, aesthetic appreciation, and meaningful relationships. His theory of probability and uncertainty was equally important. Rejecting frequency theory, Keynes held that while perfect prediction was impossible, informed judgment could guide decision-making under uncertainty, balancing optimism about human reason with realism about its limitations. Keynes developed a middle way between unregulated capitalism and state socialism. He preserved capitalism's dynamism while addressing its instabilities, combining Burkean conservatism's respect for tradition with reforming liberalism's commitment to rational change. He believed governments needed discretion to revise economic arrangements, arguing that the powers of uninterrupted usury are too great. His vision was a society of abundance, leisure, and beauty, achieved through targeted public intervention when private investment faltered. Money isn't just a neutral medium of exchange. It's a powerful force that can stabilize or destabilize entire economies. This insight formed the core of Keynes's revolutionary monetary theory. Initially working within quantity theory, Keynes developed a more sophisticated understanding of money's economic impact, examining how central bank gold reserves influenced interest rates and prices. In his 1923 tract on monetary reform, Keynes aimed for domestic price stability. Here, he famously rejected long-run equilibrium thinking. In the long run, we are all dead. Economists set themselves too easy, too useless a task, if in tempestuous seasons they can only tell us that when the storm is long past, the ocean is flat again. His breakthrough came when he recognized that money's economic power stemmed from its function as a store of value rather than merely a means of exchange. The General Theory of Employment, Interest and Money, 1936, became the founding document of modern macroeconomics. Its central insight was that when uncertainty rises, people retreat to liquid assets rather than investing in productive enterprises. This freedom not to spend forms the core of Keynes's rejection of Say's law, that supply creates its own demand. Keynes identified investment demand's instability as the crucial cause of economic fluctuations, driven by volatile expectations about future yields. Stock markets make investments liquid for individuals, but more volatile collectively, as prices depend on sentiment rather than real prospects. This makes investment dependent on animal spirits, spontaneous urges to action rather than inaction. His paradox of thrift showed how increased saving intention often reduces actual saving through income reduction. Keynes transformed theoretical insights into practical solutions. When World War II began, his How to Pay for the War applied his general theory to wartime economics, proposing deferred earnings, a progressive surcharge combining taxes and compulsory savings to be released post-war. Using national income estimates, he calculated the inflationary gap to determine necessary reductions in civilian consumption without causing inflation. Despite suffering a coronary thrombosis in 1937, Keynes became Britain's most influential economic policy figure during the war. Though never a minister, he served as a powerful civil servant at large with broad economic authority. Elevated to Baron Keynes of Tilton in 1942, he represented Britain in crucial U.S. negotiations. Keynes made three vital late career contributions: proving his theory through successful wartime finance, helping establish the Bretton Woods International Monetary System, and negotiating a $3.75 billion American loan in 1945. He saw these achievements as fundamental to an Anglo-American understanding that would prevent post-war economic collapse. During the 2008 financial crisis, governments worldwide implemented Keynesian stimulus packages. Even free market economists admitted, "We are all Keynesians in the foxhole." Yet once recovery began, many reverted to pre-Keynesian thinking, demanding stimulus withdrawal to prevent government bankruptcy or inflation. This debate mirrors the 1929 exchange between Keynes and the British Treasury. When Keynes proposed public works to address unemployment, officials argued government borrowing would crowd out private spending, an argument that resurfaced in 2009. The flaw? This reasoning only applies at full employment. When production is below capacity, government spending employs idle resources rather than competing with the private sector. Keynes's approach to reducing economic uncertainty remains relevant through ensuring sufficient investment via low interest rates and public-private partnerships, redistributing wealth through taxation to those more likely to spend, and reforming the international monetary system to prevent currency volatility. The fundamental question is whether capitalism's uncertainty represents genuine ontological indeterminacy or merely an information problem. The 2007-08 market breakdown suggests Keynes was right. Uncertainty is fundamental to our economic system. As we face climate change, technological disruption, and inequality, Keynes reminds us that economics must serve human flourishing rather than abstract principles. What made Keynes extraordinary was his rare combination of gifts. He approached economics as a branch of statesmanship, blending mathematical precision with historical understanding and philosophical depth. Unlike most academics, Keynes actively participated in financial markets, gaining firsthand insight into business psychology, noting that business life is always a bet, a perspective that shaped his understanding of economic uncertainty. Keynes viewed economics as a moral science dealing with introspection, values, and motives, not merely a mechanical discipline. While believing people deserve good government rather than self-government, he saw democratic participation as educational for developing economic literacy. He worried that concentrated economic power undermined political equality. Keynes moved seamlessly between abstract theory and practical policy. His middle way offers a template for pragmatic problem-solving that transcends ideological divides, preserving market dynamism while addressing failures through intelligent state action. His legacy continues whenever governments stimulate economic recovery during recessions.